Springfield's Talk 104.1. I am Nick Reed. It's Thursday, which means it is time for Author of the Week, someone that you may very well have heard of, Stacey Washington, host of her own nationally syndicated show, Stacey on the Right, decorated Air Force veteran and communications director of Family Vision Media and an ambassador for America First Policy Institute. Also served as co-chair of Black Voices for Trump, a board member of Veterans for Trump, and the co-chairwoman of the Project 21 National Advisory Council of the National Center for Public Policy Research. Her book, Eternally Cancel Proof, A Guide for Courageous Christians Navigating the Political Battlefront. Thank you so much for being with us. And I guess if we could just start off with what would be the definition for the purposes of your book, Eternally Cancel Proof.
Well, so I've had a couple of really very public cancellations. And during the first one, I kind of rose up with a fist, you know, warrior stance, and I prayed and I kept on working. And the second one impacted me much more viscerally. I felt like I had had a punch to my entire being. And I couldn't believe how long it took me to get over it. And I actually was joining up with a woman who is, she's old enough to be my great-grandmother. She's now in her 96th year. But this is a few years back, about 6 years ago. And she and I just started meeting once a week and studying a lot of really great literature, but the Bible was the center of it all. And I began to realize that I had placed my identity in that job as opposed to placing it in Christ, which put me in a weakened position to be able to have a simple job loss kind of devastate my entire personality and make me question a lot of things that were not impacted by it. And so over the course of that year and a half that we studied together once a week, I read dozens of books and I've studied the Bible extensively and realized that at no point during either of those cancellations or any point in my life as a Christian can I ever truly be canceled, because this is the audition. The reality is eternity is where we're going to find the most joy, the most purpose. Everything that we're doing here is impacting that future reality. And so I started delving in to looking at some of the political positions that I hold. When I'm attacked on those, where do I get the strength to continue to hold those positions? Or should I change my mind depending on the level of the attack? And obviously the answer to that is I can't change truth. My opinions don't change the truth that we live in a binary existence, that we are male and female, truth and lies, light and darkness. Everything about our world is binary. And so I'm going to choose that thing that is the truth at every turn, again and again and again, regardless of how I feel or what kind of attacks I'm under. And so that led me to really looking at, you know, what about the binary position that Americans are in politically? We have left and right. I know there are independents, but truly, you know, every contest is between the Democrat or the Republican. So I printed out both of their party platforms and read them and looked for the similarities and differences and then put them up against the Word of God and found some very, very interesting truths. And so the book is, it's a what I call a weekend or cross-country trip book, because I didn't want to write a 350-page manual that nobody finished. I wanted to make sure people would actually read it and finish it. It's heavily footnoted, and the research that went into it is, you can literally type the link in and find it for yourself and read it and compare it for yourself to figure out, not only am I telling the truth, but if it makes sense to you. And it really changed my outlook on how I see it doesn't matter the circumstance, if it's an attack from internally, an attack from externally, a terrible email, a physical threat. As a radio host, you know, that can sometimes be our reality. I have to be confident that I trust what I'm saying to people is the truth, that they can trust it, because I'm not the one who wrote the Bible. I didn't write the Declaration of Independence or the Federalist Papers. I'm here to tell you what that truth is, and then you, and provide analysis, and then you take that and you do with it what you will. So it's an interesting read. There's some funny parts in there, and I cover a lot of different topics, but the purpose of it is to help people find truth, not your truth, not my truth, but the truth, and then be able to stand on that in confidence in all of your positions, whether it's about parenting or how children should be treated in schools or whether or not we should be sending money to Ukraine. Lots of different things that we're doing in this country that you can see readily they're right or they're wrong. And the book kind of helps with that.
We are talking with our author of the week, Stacy Washington. I'm glad that you noted the difference between the truth versus this, I don't know when it evolved, it came about, this my truth, because we hear that increasingly as if truth is something that just varies. It changes depending on the perspective. And they have the very effective way of just slowly but surely changing language that seems subtle, but really it has profound meaning, doesn't it?
Yeah, the my truth thing, I first encountered that after kind of being outed as a conservative. I ran for school board in our kids' school district, and this was after I was appointed. So everybody thought I was a Democrat because I'm black.
Right.
You know, you're really not allowed to be a Republican if you're black. If you meet a black Republican, you're talking to a rabble-rouser, a rebel. This is a person who has a bit of steel in their spine, because you don't just get it from outsiders and people you don't know, but you get it from your closest friends and confidants if they don't know your politics. Now, this was some years ago, so before politics was everything and you literally wore a T-shirt or a hat to tell everybody that you're on the right or the left, you know, purple hair for the left, hats for the right. But back then, we did everything together. We were on the PTO together. We were on the diversity committee together. Only we were all there as black moms on the diversity committee, the only black moms in the building. And we were working on standardized test scores. How can we improve math proficiency and reading proficiency for all of the children who are not proficient or advanced? That's what we were working on. We were not working on gender-free bathrooms. When the same-sex moms showed up 5 years into the committee and they wanted to talk about gender-free bathrooms, we all just said, this committee doesn't do that. They're like, it's the diversity committee. I'm like, yeah, but it's about test scores. It's about math and reading. And so but this was all before I was offered an opportunity to fill an appointment. So I went in, did the interview. I was the only person who knew what the three purposes of a school board member are in the state of Missouri, the three functions. And so I got the appointment, served for 11 months, lost the election by 450 votes. And I have this existential crisis. What am I going to do? I go speak at Tea Party Under the Arch. And all of a sudden, people are stopping me in the grocery store. I had no idea you were a Republican. Oh my gosh, that's so great. Or Walgreens. Oh my gosh, I heard about your truth. Everyone deserves to be able to believe in whatever they want. It's so weird because I never knew that about you. People whose kids I had, you know, you pick someone's kid up in the line, they're running late, they can't get their kid. You're already in the line. You just add an extra kid to your minivan that carries seven kids. The kind of things that you play dates, sleepovers, everything you can think of. All of a sudden, all of that history erased because they learned I was a Republican. So, you know, there's so much of that. I had a mom tell me in the hallway, that's your truth, and you should stand in it, and you should be proud. I mean, I don't believe any of that stuff, but it's so brave of you to be out there like that. And I was like, what? We've literally done everything together for 7 years, and now you're saying I should stand in my truth. So don't believe that. Your truth is just your own delusion, actually. The truth is the truth, and lies are lies. And if you want to be able to tell the difference, you have to have something to stand on. And the moral foundation of this country is actually the Bible. That's what all of the founders believed in. They weren't atheists. They were Christians. All of the states had a specific religion, the original colonies. The history of this country is so rich and intertwined with the Bible. And that doesn't mean if you're not a Christian, you can't enjoy America. It just means you should honor the heritage that you have been gifted through the blood, sweat, and tears of your ancestors in this country. People love to use that word, ancestors. I don't believe that there's any ancestors sitting around watching us or that you can pray to them. But it's true that we do have a strong heritage in this country passed on to us through generations of people who believe in the truth and are willing to fight for it and die for it, including in our Civil War. So I'm very careful. I don't want anyone to feel like I think people who aren't Christians are less than, but I go back to the founding of this country and I see all of the stamps and hallmarks of the Judeo-Christian founding, and I refuse to ignore that. I refuse to act as if that didn't happen. So, you know.
We are talking with our author of the week, Stacy Washington. The book, Eternally Cancel Proof, A Guide for Courageous Christians Navigating the Political Battlefront. You mentioned that while you consider yourself always have a Christian, but you've not always had a biblical worldview, and you talk about that is essential to becoming eternally cancel proof. Explain what that means, the difference between just being a Christian and having the biblical worldview.
All right. So there's a question that, or it's a questionnaire, and I found it online. It was actually Focus on the Family, I believe, put it out. And basically, the questionnaire asks you some they're Bible-centric truths. So, is the Word of God infallible? Did Jesus sin? Did he die on the cross? And if you answer the questions correctly, you have a biblical worldview. Now, back when they first put it out, only 4% of Americans had a biblical worldview. And that number has increased exponentially with, the dawn of Trump, the dawn of Biden, and now Trump's back. A lot of Americans have really delved in to try to figure out what are the foundations of faith, and what does the Bible say about abortion? What does the Bible say about immigration? And there was actually a big study by Byrna where they asked Christians, what do you wish your pastor would preach on? And the top 18 topics all had to do with everyday life. So in the book, I talk about the biblical worldview. I show you what it is, what it isn't. And then I connect that to, the three spheres of life, and also how we're supposed to actually approach our world. We don't live in a political world. Politics is a tool. We have lobbying arms, and we have a lot of money that goes into politics because it's a tool that controls government. But we also have to control the home. We have to control school and church. And so we really have to look at, how are we using politics? Is it taking over our life? Is politics the religion? Or do you have a faith walk? And so we go into all of that. And I think for me, the discovery that there's a biblical worldview that connects everything in life, I can view it through the lens of scripture, made my life simpler, made my argument simpler and more sharp, and gave me a confidence that I don't have. So, I don't have to get into a screaming match with you. I don't have to, tear you down personally. There's no insults that have to be lobbed. I know where my viewpoint comes from. I know what it's supported by. And I know what the Word of God says on whatever issue you might bring up. If I don't know it already, I can find it in Scripture and show you exactly what the Bible says about it. And most people don't believe that's true. They think the Bible is static and, it's from the olden days and, it's no longer applicable to today, and that couldn't be more false. And so having a biblical worldview takes the kind of emotionality out of it, and it makes life more fun because I don't have to constantly be in a rage about things that are going right or wrong with this country. Last 4 years could have been absolutely hellish because Biden was trying to tear this place, from pillar to post. He was tearing the foundation of our country apart. And to be angry about that for 4 years would have shortened my telomeres. I want to live a long and healthy, prosperous life, and I would love to see my grandchildren and maybe even some great-grandchildren if the Lord would be that good to me. And so I don't want to be angry all the time. Also, it makes you look old, and who wants to look old? So we have to be able to just share the truth and then skip off into the next thing, like Phyllis Schlafly would say, on to the next.
And I want to ask one final question and then just your thoughts on the state of affairs today and the biblical worldview on that. But it's, to me, I think it's fair argument that a lot of the issues that are woven into politics that the Republicans would arguably be more in line with a biblical worldview, particularly on issues like abortion. But on some of those stark issues, Democrats seem to have more confidence in their position than Republicans do. Republicans, sometimes they seem almost afraid, even though the truth is on their side. It just seems so backwards from the way that it should be. What are your thoughts on why that is?
Well, I hope nobody sends me hate mail, but if you do, I answer all of my own mail. I would say that, and I address this in the book, there's two reasons for that. One, you don't have the courage of your convictions if you don't know where your convictions come from. And that's a part of why I wrote the book. The biblical worldview frees you up to confidently stand on the truth, because it's not based on, well, I believe this because I'm Black. Because that's what Democrats base their beliefs on. It's based on demographics and feelings. And so they're really passionate about it. And passion is convincing, but passion is also fleeting, and it's rooted in your emotions, which means it usually leads to bad decision-making. And you can look at the results from the left, look at all the large cities, look at Biden's 4 years of disaster, look at Kamala Harris's disaster, presidential campaign. Anything that's rooted in feelings and emotions is eventually going to be torn asunder because there's no basis there. It's not, that's not even tossing your building your house on on quicksand. Mm-hmm. Even quicksand has consistency. Emotions are like rocky waves and electricity all mixed together, volatile, dangerous, not to be trusted. The second reason is because if you're involved in any activity that is bad, right, then you have secrets. If you share secrets with people on the other side of the aisle and you want to argue with them, you're automatically arguing from a place of hypocrisy, which weakens your stance. And I'm not saying all Republicans have secrets or that they're all, right, being blackmailed or bought out, but let's face it. Why do we have a congressional slush money fund, mm-hmm, for the paying off of women who've been sexually harassed, men who've been sexually harassed, or relationships outside of marriage? The reason that slush fund has existed since Bill Clinton is because people on both sides of the political aisle in D.C. are engaged in activities that they need to cover up, and they need that slush money fund, which is funded by you and I. So if you getting a biblical worldview doesn't mean you're perfect or that you won't make mistakes, but it will help you to discern when someone's offering you an opportunity that will drag you down and potentially lead to you having a blackmailable kind of an existence. It's one of the things that they coach in the military when you get a security clearance. The chief things that people are able to be blackmailed on to share secrets, infidelity, lying, extortion, embezzlement. These are things that all human beings are prone to. So, the Democrats, they're not really as confident as they appear. They just, they're kind of wrapping themselves in a blanket of lies. And once they're inside it, it's very hard to break back out unless their personal circumstances literally break down to the core and they're forced to. Like what happened essentially economically for many, many Americans during the Biden administration. Their neighborhoods were torn asunder by illegal immigrants. Their lives were ripped apart by the economics of it, high energy, high food. So I just encourage people, especially elected officials, they're going to be held accountable at the judgment seat for assuming responsibility as a congressional member of around 770,000 Americans, to take on that kind of responsibility lightly and act as if you can just enrich yourself and never be held accountable for the lives that are impacted by your decisions, your votes, your even congressional stock trading, the insider trading that they do, all of it, they'll be held accountable. And that's not me. I won't be there. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just telling the truth because we're supposed to go out and save as many as we can from destruction. And sometimes saving someone from destruction can be the simple act of telling them the truth. So that's what I'm here to do. And it's not because I'm brave or strong. I'm tired and sometimes very, very afraid. But I have a job to do, which is to tell the truth. And so I do that. And then I leave the rest up to God because the success is not up to me. I'm only here to do what he's asked me to do, which is, 3 hours of truth telling at night on the radio and 1 hour on TV a day. And that's plenty. I think people hear a lot from me, but I'm only doing that because, I've always had on my report card, Stacey talks too much. That was K through ninth grade.
Me too. Me too. Exact same thing. Yes. Exact same thing. Talks too much.
Boring to talk.
Yeah. So I am with you 100% on that. Stacey Washington, our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Thank you so much. Very insightful stuff. The book, Eternally Cancel Proof, A Guide for Courageous Christians Navigating the Political Battlefront, Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.